JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan is here with Best in Class. It's the Week 6 review, looking back at all the games, fast and furious, with a focus on what young players are doing around the league. All those guys you focused on before the draft, what are they doing now? Sean lets you know, of course, with the heavy side order of Bucks football, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. My name is Sean Sullivan. Strap in for the best 30 minutes in football. We are talking Week 6. So please follow me at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook. You know all the social media sites. Visit us at BillCurryFord.com for all of our latest hurricane specials, up to $1,000 off. The best deal that you can find, and if you have lost a vehicle to the storm, don't worry about it, because Ford has your back. A-plan pricing with 120-day deferred payments until next year. So we have a lot going on. We have service vehicles, mobile service coming to your home. We have 100 loaner cars, and I'm there for you. You can email me at bestinclass@SeanSullivan. Sean Sullivan at bestinclass. Let's do that instead. And then ssullivan@BillCurryFord.com. If you want to email me, if you have any questions about your insurance company, how to handle an insurance claim, what to do about if the insurance company wants a body shop to inspect it, if you want a service inspection, we're doing free inspections for all Tampa natives. We are there for you at Bill Curry Ford, 65 years of family business in the Tampa Bay area. The Currys are standing tall with you as a community. And myself, I'm always willing to help anything that I can do. So this is going to be a 30-minute deep dive. Ready, set, go. Buccaneers and Saints, right? 51-27. This game was the highest scoring points of the NFL season in week six. The Buccaneers are 4-2, tied for first place in their division, with the tiebreaker going to the Falcons on that terrible loss that we had. We're not thinking about that right now. We're thinking about the fact that in one season we have spanked the Eagles and the Saints. And just so you know, coming from me, I want to thank the Bucks personally. It means so much to me to humiliate both those teams, because their fan base, the teams, and the cities are just garbage. So I'm so happy about the fact that we showed them everything we got this year and we humiliated them. And I really appreciated that from the Bucks team and the Bucks organization and Jason Light and his team. Thank you so much. Personal thank you from Sean Sullivan for humiliating the Saints and the Eagles. So what did we learn from this game? Baker Mayfield now leads the NFL in touchdown passes with 15. He completed 24 of 36 for 325, 9-yard average, and 4 touchdowns. He had an interception that he threw, 2 fluke interceptions. We're not going to talk about that. Baker Mayfield's playing an elite MVP level. If you don't think so, if you look at the stats, he's top 10 in every statistic, top 5 in the top 3, and then he's first in TDs. His completion percentage is at an all-time high, almost 70%. Right now for the season. So congratulations to Baker Mayfield, and he continued to play extremely well. But the story, the story of this game was the running game. And we had what I'm calling them buck and tuck, because that's what you have to do when these guys hit your city. You buck and tuck, right? So Bucky Irving, which was our fourth round draft pick out of Oregon, and Sean Tucker, which was our UFA out of Syracuse, really put it to him. They had 14 carries apiece. Sean Tucker had 136 yards, 9.7 yards a carry, and a TD. Bucky Irving, 14 carries, 81 yards. But he had 2 runs called back on penalties, silly penalties that have nothing to do with it. Or he would have had 14 for 96 and a TD. So congratulations to both of those guys. And then Sean Tucker added 56 yards through the air and another touchdown. So he was actually the offensive player of the week in the NFL. I just saw that last night. So pretty impressive for Sean Tucker. New Orleans, started their fifth round draft pick, Spencer Rattler. He was 22 of 40 for 243 for a TD and 2 interceptions. The 2 interceptions came late in the game. That first half, he looked phenomenal. It looks like Todd Bowles decided that he wasn't going to play around anymore in the second half, and he started blitzing, and he blitzed corner blitzes, linebacker blitzes. He blitzed safety blitz. I mean, Spencer probably didn't have any idea what was going on most of the time, because he reached into his bag of tricks, and Todd Bowles pulled out everything he had to get some pressure on the quarterback. So if we're going to be talking about the wide receivers, Ryan Miller had a catch for 39 yards, which was pretty impressive. There's a guy that if you're a Bucs fan, you only know him from the preseason, which is pretty interesting. And Sterling Shepard has done his thing. He had three catches for 23 yards. He also had a run for four runs for 31 yards on those end arounds, which were pretty impressive. And then he had some personal foul flags, which he's got to clean that up if we're going to be in contention for the NFC Championship game. Levante David led the team in tackles with 9. Whitehead played a much better game. Tyke Smith, our third-round pick out of Georgia, he's coming out right before our eyes. So he was sick. You know, he's been dealing with an ailment. He seems to be completely healthy. This week, he absolutely put on a show. 5 tackles, 3 solo tackles, 2 pass defense. He hit the QB on a throw, which caused an errant throw. It was unbelievable. Tyke Smith looks like a star player. He looks like our new Winfield, just a gem that we found. Speaking of Winfield, it was nice to have him back. Picked up a fumble, ran it back for 6, so congratulations to him. Logan Hall, 2 games in a row, shows up. 4 tackles, 2 solo tackles, a tackle for a loss, really playing the run well, rushing off the outside, getting some pressure on the quarterback. So it's nice to see him coming alive, and it's not a coincidence that Vita Vea was back in the lineup last week, and this week it seems to really have helped. Vita Vea picked up another sack. Chris Braswell, our second-round pick out of Alabama, had 3 tackles and a half a sack in this game. Yaya Diaby, still no sacks, had 3 tackles. Jamal Dean went out with an injury. I still don't understand why we're giving up so many passing yards. I feel like we have a Pro Bowl corner in Zylan McCollum, and we have the best safety in football, obviously, in Tim Winfield Jr., and we have a terrific rookie in Tyke Smith. We should be doing a much better job. Obviously, Bucky Irving, we just talked about him. Jalen McMillan out of Washington's kind of been relegated to the bench since we signed Shepard. He's kind of taking all of his snaps right now. Graham Barton missed the game. But I want to talk about one of Lee's guys. You know, this is one of the most interesting things is just seeing the center combination with Graham Barton out and how well our center played. Robert Hainsey absolutely destroyed the New Orleans Saints. That was a very physical. It could be that he was just fresh, you know, fresh legs, fresh body. But, man, he was out there destroying people. We absolutely murdered it from a pass and a rushing standpoint. The Saints had no answers for us whatsoever. Very impressive game. We have the Monday night game coming up against the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm very excited. 2-4-2 teams, 2 physical teams, 2 teams that apparently can run the ball. I guess the main question going into this week is Rashard White, and what are we going to be doing with Rashard White? And if he's going to be splitting carries, how much do you really give him if he does play in this game? If you have 2 guys averaging over 5 yards a carry, Bucky Irving right now at 5.7 yards a carry for the season is 2nd in the NFL, only to King Henry in yards per carry. So you have to give credit to Jason Light and his team for drafting Bucky Irving. We're going to talk about a guy, you know, that I was very in love with, Ray Davis, which was at the same time they chose Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving, I have no complaints. The guy's been tremendous, and I'm very happy about the pick. And we're going to talk about Ray Davis later. He had a sensational game in his first start for Buffalo. But how could you go wrong? These 2 guys are obviously 2 different types of running backs for sure. But no one could have predicted the physicality of Bucky Irving. The way he stiff arms, the way he refuses to go down, his yards after catch. He runs with this reckless abandon that represents everything that we are in Tampa, which shout out to Bucky Irving. And I want to talk about one more thing before we move on, because I want to keep this to 30 minutes today. I want to talk about Baker Mayfield and the job that he has done as the quarterback of the Buccaneers last year and then going into this year, and the fact that he doesn't get any pub nationally. It's like he's very disliked by a lot of pundits and a lot of journalists. I want to say that he plays with this blue-collar mentality. I mean, he was a walk-on at Oklahoma who won the Heisman Trophy. That's a Hollywood movie just right there. That's as far as it has to go. But then he goes and becomes the number one pick in the draft. Then he goes through trials and tribulations with a terrible Cleveland team, by the way, who probably should be praying every night that they had Baker Mayfield instead of Deshaun Watson. So be careful what you wish for. Baker Mayfield might be the MVP of the NFL this year. So all the stuff that he went through to get to this point, to get his first big contract, to be leading the NFL in touchdowns, to be in the MVP conversation, welcome home, Baker Mayfield. This is where you belong. It's not just about the play on the field. Watching you throw a block down the field on a Bucky Irving's amazing Barry Sanders-esque run where he does like the escalator where he just keeps going right by 3 yards and then right by 3 yards and then right by 3 yards until it's 31 yards down the field. That was very Barry Sanders-esque. And I could tell you that watching Baker Mayfield after he took a shot to his hip run down the field and throw another block, he is Tampa. He is our blue-collar guy, plays at a high level. He represents our city. Very proud of him. Again, welcome home, Baker Mayfield. Moving on to the next game, we're going to talk about the 49ers and the Seahawks. The 49ers won this game 36-24. The 49ers are now at 500. The Seahawks are now at 500. Ricky Pearsall, which was the 35th overall pick, you know, he was shot in the offseason, should be coming close to making his debut with the 49ers. Probably will be against the Bucs because that's usually what happens. I have a lot of faith that Ricky Pearsall is a terrific wide receiver. I think he's going to fit right in with the 49ers. Dominic Pooney, out of Kansas, he's the tackle for the 49ers, is absolutely murdering it. He's like stepped right in. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level. So that's very interesting to see him. And then their fourth, in the San Francisco's fourth round pick, pick 129, Isaiah Grando out of Louisville. Here's a guy that ran the fastest 40 at the combine. Didn't have a lot of production, in my opinion, for that kind of speed. Did have 10 carries for 99 yards. Kind of mixed it in with Jordan Mason, who was the free agent out of Georgia Tech, who had 9 carries for 73 yards. So they had 19 carries for 163 yards, which is very impressive. That 49ers run offense without McCaffrey is still hitting it on all cylinders. And then if you're looking at somebody from the Seahawks, Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas, is still waiting to find himself onto the football field for Seattle. But there's a guy to keep an eye on. He's a tremendous talent. But again, 49ers are one of our opponents as a Buccaneer fan coming up very soon. But if you think about the 49ers always drafting at the end of the draft, in the third round, pick 86, they find a starting tackle that's playing at a Pro Bowl level. That's pretty incredible. It looks like John Lynch just continues to do a terrific job for the 49ers. Obviously, I don't want them to do very well because I want the Buccaneers to beat them into a pulp in a couple of weeks. You know, we have Baltimore, Kansas City, and San Francisco. That's a pretty big task. And if you think about it, we have wins over Washington. We have wins over Detroit. We have wins over the Eagles. And now we have wins over the Saints. So, I mean, our resume is not that bad. It's the only one that's really terrible as we lost to the Denver Broncos. The next game, the Bears and the Jaguars. The Bears are now 4-2. Caleb Williams is playing into his first round status. He was unbelievable in this game. If you guys haven't had a chance to watch it, he was 23 of 29 for 226 and 4 touchdowns. More importantly, and he had 56 yards on the ground, they're allowing him to run. He had 3 throwaways. So technically he was 26 of 29 for 226 and he had 6 touchdowns in the game. He had 2 touchdowns in this game called back. So he would have imagined that completing 26 passes with 6 touchdowns. That's pretty incredible. For the season, he's at 1,317 yards and a 66% completion percentage with 9 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. So now he's right in line with the other quarterbacks. You know, we're going to talk about the other one from Washington, Jane Daniels, and where he's at. That biggest game for me as a guy that follows rookies is coming up this week. Next week is the Bears and the Redskins. We get to see Caleb versus Daniels. What a matchup. They've now flexed that game into 4:15. I just can't wait to watch it. If you're not watching Caleb Williams, he's doing a lot of special things. Chris Sims was on the NFL Network talking about how Caleb Williams has the strongest arm in the NFL, stronger than Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And that's a very bold statement. But if you watch how effortlessly he throws the ball 60 yards down the field, if you haven't witnessed it, you're going to see something special when you see those two guys play. Ndunze, the number 9 overall pick, had 2 catches for 40 yards in the game. Their punter, I'm going to talk about this punter for a second, right? 4th round pick, Torrey Taylor out of Iowa. I can't ignore, normally I don't talk about kickers and punters on this podcast, as you guys know, as the staunch listeners know. But at 61 yards a kick, how can I not talk about this guy? This guy has a leg like no other punter I've ever seen, and he changes the field. If you guys have to watch, that's his average, 61 yards. That's incredible. He has these 70-yard kicks in the game where it's rolling. You're like, how did he change? He kicks from his own end zone, and they're starting at their own 30. You're like, what the hell just happened? It's like he is a difference maker on special teams. So I thought that was really interesting. Jacksonville obviously, you know, is going to have a change of coaching staff and a whole new direction. And they gave their quarterback the second highest paid contract in the NFL, which I will never understand. I don't know what he did to deserve that. It sure as hell isn't on the field. Pick 23 overall, Brian Thomas Jr. at LSU, got hurt in the game, but he has been terrific for them. He had 3 catches for 27 yards. Mason Smith, the number 48 pick with defensive tackle out of LSU, had a sack in the game. So Jacksonville, besides Brian Thomas Jr., I'm going to go on this and say they don't have a lot of talent at the wide receiver position. Everybody thinks they do, but if you actually break it down, Brian Thomas Jr. is their best receiver. Cardinals, Packers. Packers won this game going away 34-13 against a Cardinals defense that seems to be unable to stop anybody. Marvin Harrison Jr., the number 4 overall pick, went out of the game with a concussion. The number 27 overall pick, Darius Robinson, who was linked to the Bucs, did not play in the game. If Max Melton, the corner out of Rutgers, which was a big Todd Bowles favorite going into the draft, had 4 tackles, played extremely well for the Cardinals. And Trey Benson for the Florida State guys, a running back, pick number 66 overall, had 5 rushes for 26 yards in the game. For those Sean Murphy Bunting fans, 3 tackles and 1 pass defense for Arizona. I think we could probably use Sean Bunting right now with our injuries. And then going into the Packers, Jordan Morgan, the offensive tackle at Arizona, is getting playing time. Edrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M, had 8 tackles. He's probably in the talk right now for rookie defensive player of the year. That's how good Edrin Cooper has been. Javon Bullard, the safety, number 58 overall out of Georgia, had 8 tackles in the game. The guy's playing with reckless abandon. If you guys haven't watched Bullard play, it's pretty sensational. Listen, guys, this Green Bay team's no joke. I mean, this Green Bay team has a lot of talent. They're moving the ball on offense. We're not even talking about Marshawn Lloyd yet. He's coming back from injury. Their 3rd-round pick out of USC, which is one of my favorite running backs. I will tell you, between Edrin Cooper and Javon Bullard, they nailed this draft. That those two guys are going to be playing at the level they're playing at right now, they found superstars. So congratulations to the Packers. And then I kind of put this off to the side note. Evan Williams is a safety they drafted out of Oregon in the 4th round. Evan Williams is the highest-rated defensive back in the NFL, and he's a rookie playing for the Green Bay Packers. Evan Williams, safety out of Oregon. I know that Joe Bucks fan doesn't put a lot of stock in grading from PFF, but I can tell you that it doesn't even matter if you like the grading or not. If you're number one in your position in the entire NFL, it means you're playing well, right? It doesn't mean that maybe you're not the best, maybe it's your top 5, but again, for a rookie like Evan Williams to be playing at that level, to be the highest rated safety in the NFL right now as a rookie, is pretty incredible. 91.4 grade. He earned a 93.3 this past week, which was the highest in the NFL. Colts, Titans. Colts won this game 20-17, another Flacco game. Latu, the edge out of UCLA, former terrific, amazing college player, led the nation in sacks last year, 15th overall pick. They were worried about his injury history. Had 2 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 2 QB hits in the game. He seems to be getting better. Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, the 57th overall pick, had a couple of catches in the game. But he's had a couple of breakout games where he's just running wide open and no one throws him the ball. If you go back and watch the tape on Adonai Mitchell, this guy could be leading the NFL in receiving. That's how wide open he is. He is getting these routes. He's physical. He's big. He's fast. He's getting open. At some point, please somebody get the guy the ball. And then Tanner Bordellini at center from Wisconsin, 117th overall pick, is playing excellent at the center position for the Colts. And then for the Titans, you know, you have J.C. Latham out of Alabama, who's getting some playing time, hasn't really set the world on fire. And Devontae Sweat had 3 tackles. He was the 38th overall pick out of Texas for the Titans. Texans and Patriots. This was Drake May's first game starting. Texans won this game 41-21. Drake May had a terrific game. I feel like he really made a difference throwing the ball down the field compared to what New England was doing prior. 20 of 33, 243, and 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, 7.3 per. You can see that even with his legs, he can make some plays. The New England's a completely different team with Drake May. If he can play like he played in his first game against the Texans, who have a terrific defensive backs, I'm going to tell you, Drake May actually might turn into something. Jalen Polk, the Washington wide receiver, 37th overall, had a couple of catches in the game. Layden Robinson, their pick 103, 4th-round pick out of Texas A&M, has started every game and has played extremely well for the Patriots, so congratulations to him. Texans, Blake Fisher getting some playing time. Kalen Bullock, the safety out of USC, pick number 78. It's really hard to get on the field. Even Kamir Lassiter, the corner out of Georgia, which was the pick 42 overall, having trouble getting a lot of playing time on the Texans right now. That Texans team is a Super Bowl contender, and they have a lot of depth right now. Next game, Browns and Eagles. The Eagles won this game 20-16 over a terrible Browns team who are getting Nick Chubb back this week, so we'll see how that goes for them. Deshaun Watson, still the worst quarterback in the NFL, averaging 127 passing yards per game. That's really, really bad. The good news is Cleveland Browns only have two more years of $90 million guaranteed to Deshaun Watson. So that's on the bright side, right? Only have two more seasons of watching this ass clown who's just not a good person do terrible things on the football field. He's going to get everybody fired. And the worst part is the head coach comes out and says, we're not going to play Jameis Winston because Deshaun Watson gives us a better chance to win. What drug are you on where you think that 127 yards passing and six touchdowns on this season and 31 sacks is better than what Jameis Winston can do for you? I'm not the biggest Jameis Winston fan. He is 10 times the quarterback that Deshaun Watson is, and it's not even close. Next game, Washington and Ravens. The team formerly known as the Redskins lost the game 30-23 against the Bucs opponent this week. The Ravens did it all on the ground. King Henry at 24 carries, 132 yards, and two TDs. He's now pacing 2,000 yards on the season. He is just all world. Zay Flowers, for those of you who listened to my best-in-class wide receiver Dynasty League, I told everyone Zay Flowers last year when he was a rookie would be a superstar in the league and to make sure you stash him on your Dynasty League. So those of you who listened, Zay Flowers is a star. He's going to make the Pro Bowl this year. He had 9 receptions for 132 yards. He is now Lamar Jackson's favorite. The Redskins, team formerly known as the Redskins, pick number 2 overall, Jaden Daniels at LSU, has 1,400 yards on the season, completing 75% of his passes, which is an NFL record, for 6 TDs and 2 interceptions. So, again, very similar to Caleb Williams' numbers, except for the completion percentage being much higher. Caleb Williams, the difference between these two players is Caleb Williams runs the entire offense from the line of scrimmage and makes the offensive line calls. So all the plays are called from the line of scrimmage. Jaden Daniels has scripted plays where he's doing a run-pass option where he's basically choosing one wide receiver and then running back, or he's the running back. So it's a simplified offense. Not to take anything away from Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams are still playing better ball than Deshaun Watson. But Jaden Daniels, again, at some point, he's going to have to take on a bigger role in the offense. Caleb Williams, for those of you guys who are really entrenched in football, and this isn't just me, my personal bias, because I love both players. Jaden Daniels was my number 2 overall quarterback in my quarterback rating. I love Jaden Daniels, don't get me wrong. But Caleb Williams is at a different level when it comes to running an offense. And you're going to see that when they play each other. Zuron Newton, the defensive tackle at Illinois, one of Lee's favorites, had 3 tackles on the game. Luke McCaffrey had a couple of catches, which was pick 100, wide receiver out of Rice. And then for the Ravens, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, which was their first-round draft pick, who's a very physical corner. I loved him coming out. It's crazy that he's with the Ravens, but he had 4 tackles, 2 pass defense. Roger Rosegarden out of Washington, pick 62, is also getting some time on their offensive line. Moving on to the Chargers and Broncos. Broncos lost this game 23-16 to the Chargers. Interesting, Bo Nix, which was the 12th overall pick, has now gone over 1,000 yards for the season. He's at 1,082, completing 61% of his passes for 5 TDs and 5 interceptions. So the last 2 games, he's played a lot better. For Bo Nix, it looks like he's settling in. He's also running the ball around a little bit, which is good for him. And the Broncos. The Broncos are now 3-3. Chargers are now 3-2. Troy Franklin, the pick 102, which played with Bo Nix at Oregon, had 2 catches for 31 yards and a touchdown. His first NFL touchdown. Jonah Ellis out of Utah, which was a pass rusher that I really liked coming into this draft, had 2 tackles, 1 pass defense, 1 QB hurry. As far as the Chargers are concerned, Joe Alt, the number 5 overall pick, has been playing extremely solid. The last 2 weeks his plays dropped off a little, but he's still been very solid. Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, the pick 34 overall, had 4 catches for 43 yards. He is now the number 1 receiver in San Diego in front of Quentin Johnson. And Junior Colson, the linebacker that I absolutely love out of Michigan, missed the game for injury. Steelers and Raiders. Steelers won the game 32-13. The Steelers are now 4-2. Raiders are 2-4. And I just found out that the Steelers are making a quarterback change with a 4-2 team with Justin Fields playing at quarterback to go to Russell Wilson. You won a game 32-13. You're 4-2. You lost a close game last week by 3 points. You could be 5-1. I think this might be the first time in NFL history that a winning quarterback at 4-2, who's playing extremely well right now, is getting benched for Russell Wilson. I'm not quite sure what they're thinking. The Steelers don't have a good offensive line. I think Justin Fields really helps the offensive line because he's running all over the field. I don't think Russell Wilson has those wheels anymore. Obviously, Russell Wilson gives them a lot more at the quarterback position. That's no doubt. But as far as a thrower, but not as an overall quarterback, not to mention the fact that Justin Fields is loved in the locker room by the Steelers, and Russell Wilson is not liked. So I'm interested to see what Mike Tomlin is doing here. As far as the Steelers draft picks, Troy Fontenot is playing out of Washington's 20th pick overall. Zach Frazier, Ira's favorite player, 51 overall out of West Virginia, is playing at a Pro Bowl level. He's murdering it for the Steelers. Roman Wilson hasn't been able to see the field, wide receiver out of Michigan. Peyton Wilson out of NC State, my favorite linebacker in the draft, had 6 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. He is a beast. When he's healthy, he is an incredible player. So congratulations to Peyton Wilson. Mason McCormick, the guard out of South Dakota State, which was a Jason Light small school guard guy, 119 overall. He's starting now 2 games in a row for Pittsburgh, so we'll see how that improves. As far as the Raiders is concerned, they just traded Davante Adams. They really have nobody on their team in this game. Brock Bowers, which was the 13th pick overall, was the smartest thing the Raiders did. He had 9 catches for 71 yards. He's on pace to break every single rookie tight end record in NFL history. He's going to be over 1,000 yards for sure. He is a weapon. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to, like I said, break every record. Caden O'Connell, last year's rookie, 27 of 42, 27 of TD, just doesn't look like he has enough. The Raiders' leading receiver is Trey Tucker. If you don't know who that is, it's not a surprise because I don't know who it is. So it's just super strange, and I watch every game, and I watch college. So as far as I know, the only Trey Tucker I knew was a special teams guy, and he wasn't a starting wide receiver, but apparently he is for the Raiders. Jackson's Powers Johnson out of Oregon, center for Raiders, is playing elite center right behind Frazier. So those guys are really doing a great job at the center position. Lions, Cowboys. The Lions rolled the Cowboys so bad that I had to turn it off. The Lions were purposely doing trick plays to Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle. They were calling like the Statue of Liberty play, flea flickers. They were humiliating the Cowboys. This was very personal, it seemed like, for the Lions, who are now 4-1 with their only loss coming to your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Terrion Arnold, the number 24 overall pick, had 2 tackles, 1 pass defense, which was really interesting. As far as the Cowboys are concerned, their first-round pick, Tyler Guyton, has not played very well out of Oklahoma. And Marshawn Kneeland, the defensive end from Western Michigan, picked number 56, which I think was too high for him, has missed the game with an injury. So the Cowboys are in disarray right now. If it continues from what I'm seeing right now, Bill Belichick will be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Falcons, the Dirty Birds, beat the Panthers 38-20. There's really nothing I want to talk about in this game. We should have beaten them. We're going to get a rematch in a couple weeks. I want to punch them into the ground. I want to smear them. I don't want to just win by 3 points. I want to absolutely score a 51 burger on them. That's what I want to do. Bengals and Giants. Bengals won this game 17-7. The Giants without Malik Nabers just have absolutely nothing on offense. They should have known that going into the season. But I can tell you that what's really interesting is that Giants defense is for real. That is with Brian Burns and Thibodeaux, that and McCluster in the middle, they are absolutely the real deal. If they ever had an offense, they could actually win some games. Let's talk about their draft picks. So Malik Nabers missed a game, second game in a row with a concussion. He was leading the NFL in every category. Tyler Newbin, safety out of Minnesota, picked 47, had 9 tackles. Andrew Phillips, a corner from Kentucky, didn't play. Theo Johnson, tight end, had another 3 catches for 30 yards. He is pick 107, starting tight end for the Giants. He is physical, big, catches the ball. Another talented guy, Lee, out of Penn State. You're going to find that funny. Tyrone Tracy Jr., former wide receiver turned running back, had 107 scrimmage yards in the game, 5th-round pick, but they can't muster enough with their quarterback, who's the 3rd highest-paid quarterback in the league, by the way. As far as the Bengals are concerned, Amarius Mims has been starting for the Bengals in and out. Mixed reviews. Chris Jenkins didn't play in the game, which was a defensive end, interior defensive lineman of Michigan, who I like a lot. Eric All, the tight end out of Iowa, pick 115, had a couple of catches in the game. Sensational blocker. So this game actually featured two rookie guys, with Theo Johnson and Eric All, who are doing a terrific job for their teams. Bills and Jets. Bills won this game 23-20. The story for me in this game was Ray Davis. Now, he was a fourth-round pick out of Kentucky from the Bills. He had 20 carries for 97 yards, and he had a reception for 55 yards. He led the Buffalo Bills in rushing and receiving in the same game. That is correct. Rushing and receiving, he led both. If you look at his scrimmage yards, he had 165 yards from scrimmage, which was incredible. If you watched him run, he was unbelievable, running over guys like he was homeless. Like this was the last time he was ever going to have the ability to run in the NFL. Every play, it looked like he was trying to prove something. It was an incredible situation. If you don't know his story, the guy was homeless, fought through a bunch of stuff, got a scholarship at Kentucky, tried to take care of his family. It just, the whole thing is just like a made-for-TV movie. I'm just really proud of Ray Davis. Got his first start and absolutely killed it. Keon Coleman out of Florida State, picked number 33 overall, had 3 catches, 26 yards. Last week he had a couple of touchdowns for Buffalo. He's really fitting in. Cole Bishop, the safety out of Utah, didn't do much in this. And Dwayne Carter is just playing special teams. He was the defensive tackle out of Duke. As far as the Jets are concerned, there's really no one to talk about on the Jets right now. They just traded for Adams, the Raiders wide receiver, as well as Amari Cooper, who was with the Browns, was traded to the Bills. So that's going to really help them. And so that concludes week 6 of the NFL. Please follow me at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook. You guys know all the social media sites. I'm not going to list them all. Go to BillCurryFord.com, see all of our amazing hurricane specials right now. If you need any help with insurance, just email me at bestinclass@BillCurryFord.com. I'd be happy to help you, or SSullivan@BillCurryFord.com. Send me any questions you have. Listen, even if I can't help you, if you just want to run something by me just to make sure you're getting a good deal with your insurance company, please let me help you. Bill Curry Ford owns our own insurance company. It's called Curry Cares Insurance. We do auto and home insurance, so I'm very familiar with it. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. We also have tow trucks. We have over 100 loaner cars. We have mobile vans going to people's homes and offices. We have everything. Right now, we're fully open and ready to help the Tampa community. All right, well, you guys stay safe. I hope you enjoyed the best 30 minutes in football, and I'll see you guys week 7.